But our citizenship, a word that would mean a lot to the Philippians, our citizenship, he mentioned that back in verse 27 of chapter 1, because Philippi is a Roman colony. They've got Roman citizenship. It's a Roman city in the middle of the Macedonia, with Latin as its official language, and the city set out exactly like with the central street and the cross street. I can't think of the names of them at the moment, won't come to my mind. So it's, they're Romans, and they're very proud of that citizenship. Well, he says, our citizenship, using a word that means a lot to them, is in heaven. So it's with Jesus. It is from there that we're expecting a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Saviour, big word used of the emperor. That's what the emperors love to call themselves, saviour, soter. So did the Egyptian pharaohs. Well, our real saviour, the one who's going to bring us life, is the Lord Jesus. A few other texts here. Through the Spirit, he says in Galatians 5:5, through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly hope, wait for the hope of righteousness. Paul's, I'm sure if you went up to Paul and said, are you saved, Paul? He'd say, I'm hoping to be. I've been in groups where Christians are asked that question, and you're supposed to stand up and say, you're sure you're saved. God will help us. We're sure that Jesus is saving us. We're sure of him. Are you sure of yourself? Hope you're not. Well, I'm not. We can let things down. We can sin. We can do it. We're capable of everything, aren't we, nearly? Look at if you see what other people do, just presume you'd do it too if you were there. It's not a bad start. Well, who was that beautiful saint who said, there but for the grace of God go I? Was it Philip Neri or... was it? Anyhow, one of those. So it's a good thing to say, there but for the grace of God go I. So we're all capable of this. What we're sure of is that we have been saved by him. And if we hold that, then salvation is assured. But we're quite capable of doing what Judas did, and please God, his salvation is there too. So it's got to be humble stuff. We're eagerly hoping for something, waiting for something, longing for something, and doing something about it now too in welcoming grace. And that doesn't mean we're wandering around worried about our salvation all the time. It means we spend our time loving the one who saves us and living, letting him live in us. 1 Corinthians, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:23, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's what we've got, it's beautiful, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption. We're waiting to be sons, daughters, united with Christ, because we're still waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Our bodies are still, we human beings in this world are still quite capable of letting ourselves down and letting God down and letting others down. We're quite capable of it, and we know it. So we're constantly crying out for mercy, but not with happily knowing that mercy is offered us. So he goes on then, and I'll conclude this first half with this. So it is from heaven that we are expecting a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he picks up words that he used in that beautiful hymn we did last week, those few verses in chapter 2. And I'm putting in here in brackets the link, so you'll see that it's all been one poetic... He will transform, metaschematizo. And he's used the word schema when he said how Jesus was found in human form. Schema. We use the word ourselves. Back in chapter 2, verse 7. Well, our schema is going to be metaschematizo. There's going to be a change. Our way of being is going to be like his one day. The body, what's going to be transformed is the body of our humiliation. I don't know about that word. Tapenosis. humility. It means this body that you remember said Jesus emptied himself, lowered himself. Tapenophrosune is the word for humility. So it's this body that is low rather than glorified. So this body that we have, that Jesus had too, when he emptied himself, it's going to be transformed. That it may be conformed, morphos, adjective, morphe, we've seen a few times, sum morphe, we're going to have the same way of being that Jesus has. Conformed to the body of his doxa, of his glory. So we can't even imagine what the risen body is going to be like. Don't try. When the people tried in 1 Corinthians, remember chapter 15, they said, what kind of body will we have when we're risen? He said, that's a pretty stupid question, he said, which is not a very good thing for a teacher to say, but we all do. He said, for heaven's sake, how could you possibly try and imagine it? And then he says, there's bodies like stars, and there's a seed, and there's a tree, and he doesn't say talk about a grub and a butterfly, but he could. You know, like, how could you possibly imagine? So don't even try. He said, but we're going to be like him. The body of his glory, transformed by the power that enables him to make all things subject to himself. It's going to be the power of God who loves us that's going to transform us fully then into Christ, which is what we're, that's our home, that's where we're going, that's where Jesus is, that's where the anchor is, that's where our hope is. And in the meantime, we live like Jesus as much as we can, but don't be an enemy of the cross of Christ. Don't make Christianity out to be something other than what you see with Jesus on the cross, because it isn't anything else. And if you try and make it something else, like a way of being a Jew, and I'm not knocking Judaism on, please, you know that. It's a beautiful religion. Jesus was a Jew. But it's far more beautiful if you live it the way Jesus lived it, which is actually what Christianity is. So, by the power that enables him to make all things subject to himself.